Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate The Force Awakens one minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
And I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
And today we are discussing Minute 1, Numero Uno of Star Wars Minute, The Force Awakens. Minute 1 starts off with us gazing into the black void that awaits us all. And it ends a minute later with the crawl informing us that Leia is desperate to find her brother, Luke, and gain his blank.
Luke is her brother?
That's not true. That's impossible.
No. Yeah.
Here we are.
We're cracking into the sequel trilogy, I guess we can still call it. Down the road, it won't ever be called that.
Or, yeah, the Disney trilogy. Yeah. They're going to have to start calling it.
Yeah, this is one of those things where only now can we call it this, and it'll be weird later on.
Yeah, people in the future are like, it's obviously called the Rey trilogy or the Snoke trilogy or something that we're like, we're here in the past. We don't know anything.
So, it's an interesting time. So let's...
It's a dark time.
No, well, it's opposite. It's...
a long time.
Long time. I guess before we crack into it, we could talk about how, you know, the state of Star Wars in between, you know, we just last year finished... Or earlier this year, as of this recording, finished talking all about the prequels and where we felt as Star Wars fans after Revenge of the Sith. I think I talked. That's why I only saw it once because I went and I was like, okay, that's done.
You did your contractual obligation.
And you know, it was like I left in the kind of bottom of the eighth. Or something like that. It was like, oh, all right, I know where this is going. You know, it was like a...
Don't need to worry about Star Wars anymore.
Right. And then, this sounds too, you know, like, I'll always remember where I was. But it was that whole weird weekend where it was Halloween, Hurricane Sandy, and the Disney Lucasfilm thing. Like, we were all kind of battening down the hatches for this superstorm.
Right, yeah,
that's funny. Then it was like, wait a minute, somebody caught it on you know, some kind of news feed and was like, Disney bought Star Wars? Wait, what?
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, I guess because now Disney is owning like everything.
Yeah, it seems less
it was a novelty at the time.
Yeah. Although I think they had owned Marvel before. They had bought Marvel before that.
That's true. So yeah, it's not like they haven't
and
been,
like controlling interest in the Muppets, I think. Yeah, so it was like, right. It's like they're doing a weird checklist of like, what do you like? Okay, I'll get that. By Hasbro next.
You know what we should have done is when we finish Revenge of the Sith, we should have said, we're not doing anymore. We're ending the show.
And then
announced that Disney was buying the show and we were going to do more episodes.
It would have been like an encore.
Yeah.
Like somebody would have had to, it's like a James Brown cape situation. Or towel? Cape.
Yeah. I guess for this to really, ideally, you should start listening to this podcast, what, 10 years after the last one?
No, now. Listen to it now. Download them all now,
yeah.
Multiple times.
Yes.
Also, rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, all that stuff.
But yeah, so this is the first entry into the new era, which by the time No, but even by the time we're done with this, it won't be even yet. The force was still out of balance, but by the time this trilogy is over, there'll be an equal number of Star Wars movies from the pre-Disney era as there is in the Disney era.
Yeah, it's weird to think that eventually the George Lucas era is going to be a tiny little stub at the beginning of a giant Disney era.
Right. I think that's all right. Yeah, if there's... Oh, no, at the end of the trilogy...
That's six apiece.
What's the third... There's no third anthology, right? Yet. That we know of.
So if there's five? There's
this is where
five?
Everybody gets angry because by the time this... Between recording and releasing this, they're obviously going to announce the Lobot spinoff or whatever it is, and, you know.
Yeah, we should tell everyone we're recording this in the fall of 2011. So keep that in mind when you're listening. We don't know anything about the future.
Yeah, so we're
like it that way.
So this starts out with so slightly different, and we talked about this forever ago. Actually, going back over the hiatus, some of the fans of the Star Wars Minute Listeners Society over on Facebook, which is a great place to hang out. Even though sometimes Facebook gets a little bit obnoxious and toxic, the Star Wars Minute Listener Society is always a happy place.
Swell bunch of folks.
And during the hiatus, there was a re-listen going on where we're starting from the beginning, listening to the first season over again, day by day, the way that it was released, essentially. In doing that, then I ended up kind of going back and hearing a little bit about listening to the first episode. Again, now you've never heard any of our episodes, so you wouldn't remember this. But in our very first episode, we talk about how it'll be weird that the new Disney Star Wars movies won't have the 20th Century Fox fanfare before the Lucasfilm, the whole roll up. And here it is, right in front of our faces, exactly what we were talking about. That it's weird because it doesn't have it. That we speculated they might do the castle,
Sleeping Beauty's castle,
right. That's where all the Disney people yell at us, right? Isn't it Cinderella's castle? No, sleeping. I don't know. It's somebody. Whatever.
Yeah, they're definitely gonna yell.
Whatever I say, it's always wrong on that, and everybody's like, "Ah, you fool!" It's
Let's
Ariel's
go with Beauty
castle.
And the Beast. Right. Beauty and the Beast's castle.
It's definitely the Black Hole Castle.
Frank's castle.
And McCormick. There's nothing. There's just the Lucasfilm logo.
Yeah.
And it creates this weird new experience where there's, counted it out, obviously, this is what we do, 17 seconds of silence.
Hmm.
17 seconds of silence. So it's black, and then the Lucasfilm comes in, and there's no sound with it. There's no, like, you know, fanfare accompanying it. It's just like, Lucasfilm. They should have had somebody whisper it really quietly.
I feel like that for nerds of our generation, the fanfare is part of the...
Yeah.
It's part of the score. Because I remember even in the story of Star Wars, the Roscoe Lee Brown story, they had the opening fanfare, which is funny to imagine. And I guess now it would end with Ann Robot or whatever the...
It's a weird... I mean, it's not... It's weird because it was a part of it. And maybe it will be again with, you know, as we're recording this, I think it's still up in the air. It's like 90% done that Fox is buying all the entertainment properties of, I mean, Disney's buying Fox, you know, all the good stuff without the bad stuff from Fox, because Fox wants to concentrate on the bad stuff. And so that we might get that back in. They might, I don't know, this all might be moot. This all might change, but it was a nice, definitely let us know from the get go that something's a little bit different without, I don't know.
Oh yeah. No, that's definitely the first of many things that, indicate that things have changed.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's a good, we get this, you know, a new version of this classic moment of silence. This time it's 17 seconds of silence, but it goes, the Lucasfilm logo. And then, there's a good part on the commentary track from The Force Awakens. J.J. Abrams does a commentary just by himself. And interestingly, he talks about, like, this is why I hate doing these, because, like, I love talking about it, but, like, every moment that I'm talking about it, other stuff goes by that I want to talk about. And I was like, have I got a format for you, sir? let's get you on some of this stuff. But he does good. The commentary just kind of starts out. He's like, "Hi, this is J.J. Abrams, and you know, when I was 10 years old, the only thing cooler than these blue-green letters," and that's where it comes up, like, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and he, like, pauses kind of for the moment of silence. He's like, "Was this?" And he goes, "Bah! Star Wars," and he times it well, and it's a good, like, he's talking about exactly what, like, yeah, that whole intro thing is so wonderful and iconic. And, you know, I'm not, we've talked about this, I think, at length, maybe on Weekend Edition episodes, which you can get at StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon. If you, you know, if we, when they started coming out with the anthology films and they kind of decided that the language was different, and I don't mind that they don't start out like this. Like, this is reserved for the...
Oh, I like it. Big, I like that they don't start out with it.
Yeah. Like, people are talking about, like, "Oh, it's not Star Wars." Like, but, like, no, yeah. this is reserved for the anthology, for the saga movies. And this is what, you know, this is the main story that you're following. Then if you're going off to watch another story, I like that they're using different language, different filmic language.
Yeah. So that even without knowing any of the behind the scenes stuff, you know what, from the start, this is different than, than you're used to. And then what, the title? Star Wars?
Star Wars. Have you heard of it?
Evan. Have you heard the good news about Star Wars? The Force Awakens.
Yes.
What do you think about the title?
It makes sense in, like, there's a lot of stuff, I think, that we'll be discussing as we go through this.
I hope so.
That, that is a little bit meta, you'll find out. Like, it's not only referencing what's going on in the movie, but it's referencing what's going on with the movie.
Yeah.
And this is the first one of those, I think. So it's like the Force was basically lying dormant, and it was in kind of a weird state of affairs with the, you know, the saga. Star Wars itself was in a weird state at the end of the prequel trilogy. And I know we'll get a lot of people, you know, saying, like, "Well, what about Clone Wars?" and stuff like that. And it's all, you know, it's good. There was, I'm not, it wasn't totally gone, and it wasn't all bad, but there was, like, that there's a main, there's a huge, you know, kind of main backbone kind of a thing that obviously the films drive. There's the, you know, the tent poles of the main movie releases. You know, that's the meat of it. It's the both the backbone and the meat and a tent pole somehow, if you can follow my metaphor.
Sounds pretty gross.
Yeah. It's a weird dream that I had. But those, you know, those were in a weird state. And because, like, George Lucas basically said, like, "I don't want to make any more."
Yeah.
You know, and who can blame him? Because with the way that everybody was kind of yelling at him for
sure,
making the movies that he wanted to, telling the story that he wanted to. And so then this is this kind of, you know, reawakening. It's like, you know, the Force, not only the Force within the movie, but the Force of Star Wars itself. Like, you know, the whole thing is awakening. It's coming back from a nap.
I think it's funny that, to me, it's interesting that both, so far, the two Disney saga movies have very Star Wars-y words in the title. The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. It's, and I was like, that's weird. But then I was thinking, out of the other ones, you have The Empire Strikes Back, The Return of the Jedi. I guess Phantom
Menace. Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the most Star Wars-y title. Yeah. So Phantom Menace didn't use anything.
Right.
And Attack of the Clones doesn't really.
Clones.
That's true.
It's not exclusively a Star Wars-y thing. But.
Yeah. And then Revenge of the Sith, which is the most Star Wars-y of the original ones. But I think of all the titles, actually, I think I like Attack of the Clones the best, just based on the title.
Right.
Just because it's such a crazy sounding thing. What the heck does that mean? The Attack of the Clones?
Right. You sound like Ewan McGregor.
Thank you.
Hello there.
Yeah, and this was a good, I mean, this, you kind of knew what you were in for from the get-go. So, I mean, I like it because it's appropriate. Maybe, you know, down the road, it'll be less, like, if you were to reshuffle, like, if you were to basically lay out all these movies, show them to people without the titles, and then give them a bag of titles and ask them to put
those on there. That's a fun game.
I think a lot of people might title this one A New Hope.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it seems...
And that's actually appropriate because this movie, as we're going to discover, has a lot of things in common with A New Hope. Yeah, and A New Hope could have been called, the motion picture could have been called The Force Awakens.
Sure, because it's the first, the beginning of the whole thing.
Yeah. Or this movie could have been called Attack of the Clones. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that we'll keep. We'll hit on that. That it's a theme that we'll kind of come back to a couple times with that. Similarity is, and it's parts where it speaks Star Wars language. This is the first time, and everybody, we can all shake hands and agree. For there's a couple of outliers that we'll address later, but this is the first time that the whole camp of release order people and episode order people, we all agree, let's watch this one seventh. Like, it's all cool.
It's bringing balance to the Force.
Exactly. Hey, everybody. Like, there's some people who are, you know, pure, like, saga story order who are going to be like, well, you know, because you have to watch Rogue One and Solo and all that first. But if you're just watching, if you're watching the main stream, the backbone tentpole meat movies, if you're watching them in order, whichever order, unless there's, you know, machete order, you guys can wait outside. But episode order and release order, we all agree this is number seven.
We all agree the Clone Wars movie should be skipped.
Yeah.
and watched third.
Well, happy seven, everybody.
Yeah. It's great seven. Because once everyone was united in this, fandom was one never divided again by
exactly,
anything.
Yeah.
They all lived happily ever after.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So apparently George Lucas started working on a script for episode, like rough outline for 7, 8, and 9. Because he knew he was going to be selling it, and he wanted that to increase the value. You know, he wanted to be like, "Oh, look, I have three more plots to give you."
Right.
And but clearly, they did not use those ideas.
Right.
At least not yet.
Yeah, I heard maybe he was a little upset that they didn't really use them, but
And of course, we're all dying to know what was in those.
Yeah, I saw that they talked about how they're never going to release them or something like that. Of course, easy way. It's like, you know, that old joke of, like, you know, how do you keep an idiot in suspense or something like that? I feel like I keep falling for this. Like, all they have to do is keep saying, like, and there's this that we're never going to show you. It's like, well, that's all I want. Like, you know, all I want is the holiday special on Blu-ray and the original cuts and all this other stuff. And it's like,
well, that's something, I guess, so far in taking notes for this movie, I think it's going to be a challenge because, unlike, say, Star Wars Empire, Return of the Jedi, and to a lesser extent, the prequels, there's almost no behind the scenes stuff
for this.
Compared to the original trilogy, which, you know,
were
very well documented and everyone knows stories. But this, Disney is, you know, keeping everyone very tight lipped, especially considering that Rogue One and the Han Solo story both had very tumultuous births.
Right.
So we're just going to be making up a lot of stuff is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And interestingly, there was, I think, a J.W. Rinsler wrote a making of Force Awakens book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was listed on Amazon briefly and then disappeared. And it's not they didn't approve it. They unapproved it, whatever. Like, he was like, you know, working on it and had a, like, had a lot of interviews done and had the whole thing kind of like ready to go. And they were like, hang on. And then just disappeared it.
Yeah. I wonder why.
I don't know. Could be that their stuff, you know, they might not think that it looks like they have their stuff together. They just wanted us to see the, you know, the picture, the final picture and think like, oh, of course they've got complete control. Where it's like, and you know, it's a really big, difficult thing to make these, you know, there's a million moving pieces and it's, you know, to get everything to come together and work on this level, spoilers, I like this movie. it takes a lot and there's, you know, I'm sure it doesn't match originally, you know, the original vision, but that process, I would love to see that.
Sure.
And maybe I'm sure eventually down the road, there'll be all this stuff, you know, there's,
oh yeah,
anniversary releases and all that kind of stuff coming up. And Disney is one to totally, you know, they'll milk us for everything.
I bet when there's a new, when there's a regime change at Lucasfilm, I think that's when they will, that's when they'll start releasing all the, to prove how bad the old regime was,
right,
that, you know, why they took over.
I want you to phrase that differently to prove that they think how bad the regime was. We're not casting aspersions.
Oh, yeah,
to
no. I was saying it from the point of view of that new regime. Right. They will say, "Look how bad the old one was."
Right.
I'm not saying that. I think they did a very.
Yeah,
you know,
I think we've talked about this offline, and we agree that this is a really well done rescue of in a sort, in a sense.
Yeah.
Of the, you know, way to turn the franchise around into a place where it's into a nice, it's got a good future ahead of it with this.
Oh yeah, I'm, you know, we're gonna have some quibbles with it, as you're gonna discover, but
as we had with, you know, Empire.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you know,
so
with
it's not
everything.
Yeah. But you know, as a return to the form, I think this was a solid,
right,
you know, very professionally done, solid entertainment.
Yeah.
So, good for them.
All right, should we talk about what's in the crawl here?
Sure.
The very beginning of the crawl.
Mm-hmm.
It's a period of civil. Oh, no, wait.
Wrong crawl.
Luke Skywalker has vanished. Yeah, well, that's a, like that's on my note. Is like the Jedi do? Like he's vanished? Like he, like somebody hit him with a lightsaber and he vanished? Or
I guess we should also say that we are going to be saying spoilers for everything up until Solo.
I guess so.
We're not going to not, because for the most part, people are going to be listening to this years from now, and they're not going to want to hear it be like, well, the certain character. So, if you don't want to hear anything about, for some reason, you're listening to this and have not seen all the Star Wars movies, then stop. Because anyway, the point I was going to say is that Luke Skywalker vanishes, and then at the end of The Last Jedi, Luke Skywalker vanishes.
Oh, look at that.
So it's like ring theory.
Luke Skywalker has vanished, and that's a, it seems a little bit more, I don't know, I think this walks a good line, you know, there's more to it than we'll get to it, but it's an interesting, you know, we kind of criticized, like, the crawl for Jedi, Return of the Jedi, you know, we talked about how it's just like, Luke and his friends are doing this, whereas the other ones are, like, much more kind of, like, galactic table setting, where it's like, oh, you know, it's a period of civil war, it's a dark time for the rebellion, it's all very kind of broader strokes, whereas and so this kind of walks that line a little bit, but it uses that to kind of get there. You know what I mean? It's not like Luke's doing this. It's like Luke has vanished, which then also triggers all this other stuff.
Right. Well, also, I guess we didn't talk about it, but you and I saw this movie together. For the first time we ever saw it.
This is a weird full circle thing. So this is the first movie that we're covering that we saw together the first time.
Yeah. So, the excitement was very palpable, and when the opening thing, bam, you know, like, I'm sure everyone in the theater got like goosebumps, and then to have it say The Force Awakens, the very first words in the crawl are Luke Skywalker, like that's almost like really just like pouring it on right out of the start. Like we're not you know, tiptoeing around this thing, we're giving you exactly what you want. You know, Anakin, no more
episode 7 The Force Awakens. Boba Fett is not in this movie.
C.O. Bibble has gone missing. Although, I have to admit, I would love it if it started off about C.O. Bibble. So, So, Luke Skywalker has vanished.
Yeah. And it says that kind of, you know, triggers this chain of events. So, was Luke the only thing keeping the Empire / First Order at bay? 'Cause that's what they make it kind of seem like in the crawl, that it's like... because Luke is gone, then the First Order, it felt like that they could rise, you know, that they could make a play. They could, you know,
right.
They're like, well, Luke Skywalker's gone. Let's do it now. You know, it's a weird.
Yeah. And, you know, because first I was like, well, yeah, I guess without him there, then I guess up until this point, was Luke kind of keeping everyone in line? Was he like the galactic cop, you know, with his,
well,
with his
with the Jedi
lightsaber on the end of a like a bully club?
So that you know, and we don't get a sense or a scope from this of how long ago Luke Skywalker has vanished. It's not like we can't tell if it's like this just happened.
Oh right, yeah.
Or he's been missing for ages.
Right.
You know,
ever since the Battle of Endor, no one's been able to find him.
He went off to burn his dad, and nobody ever saw him again. Yeah, so it's an interesting, it does start out with, I guess, starting your movie with saying that, you know, hey, that character, you know, is missing, instantly gives you like a plot thread.
Yeah.
Like, so within the first sentence, you've got a plot thread.
Yeah. You know that the Force has awakened and that Luke Skywalker has vanished.
Right.
Are these two things connected?
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out tomorrow on Star Wars.
The things that are in caps.
Uh-huh.
At least in this part of it, I noticed, which I forgot to go back and compare what else is in caps normally in the other. I feel like names were in caps sometimes in the other ones, but this one, the only
Death Star was in caps, I think.
And of course, all the Imperial officers were in caps. the only things that are in caps, all caps in this crawler, the kind of faction names. So it says First Order,
yeah.
And then Republic, and then Resistance.
Yeah.
Which also, been, you know, I we've talked about how this, it took me like one full viewing, like almost at the end of the crawl, did I finally be like, oh, I have to read this. Like, I'm so used to just being like, I know the crawl as it goes by.
Checking and
like,
your with, mail. And
yeah, with the... prequels that happened a little, you know, I knew a little bit of it, you know, and as they go by, but this was the first time, like, I remember being in the theater and being, oh, wait, I have to pay attention. I have no idea what's going
this
on
is
now.
Brand this new is, Star Wars
this
information.
Is new information on my desk here.
Yeah.
but this time around, I was thinking about how I hadn't really put together that it says, you know, that that Princess Leia, with the support of the Republic, has put together the Resistance. So it's a, you know, it I feel like the times that I've watched it, I feel like it's, well, the Empire and the Rebellion kind of evolved into the First Order and the Resistance, but the Republic still exists and is its own thing.
Yeah.
Still.
Mm-hmm.
The New Republic, I guess. So it's an interesting, weird, like, it's not, you know, it's not the same one-to-one, but so it's like a weird sub-faction, like, this is just like a undercard fight.
Yeah, it's an ongoing problem, at least as of this recording, that we really don't know exactly what the structure of the, like, why is the Republic not funding a huge army to fight the First Order if they are this big threat? And
right.
And I mean, I guess they're saying, like, they don't believe, you know, that after the big Star War, they're like, oh, we don't want to get involved in another war. And I guess Leia is, you know, the only one who's the leader of this ragtag group. But
she has their support.
Yeah, it's a weird... like, okay, you know, I'll let you raise your own personal army to go fight that foreign government.
Right.
You have slush our support. So, yeah, I guess they're like the CIA funding the Contras or something.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that there's a couple of interesting questions raised, and kind of even now, going through it this time, I'm thinking about the movie differently than I have previously, which, of course, that's going to happen the more we do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we do these movies each time, I think about them differently.
Huh, funny.
I don't know. Did you have anything else for minute one? Obviously, there's more crawl tomorrow, so...
Yeah, well, I guess in addition to kicking off the new era of Star Wars, kind of offhandedly ended a different era of Star Wars, which was of course, the much beloved EU.
Right.
All those novels and video games and so on were all thrown to the scrap heap of history, much to some people's rage.
Right. You cannot read them ever again, and you can't watch them, and you can't, none of that exists anymore. You can never, ever see them.
Yeah. I guess you and I have made no secret of the fact that we're not exactly we weren't exactly EU fans who had invested any interest in Mara Jade or Admiral Thrawn, or
we didn't hate it, but
that
we
horse
weren't, like,
that drives an X-wing.
Well, hey, Mom, I'm totally invested in Hohas Ekwesh. But
as far as I'm concerned, anything that's not directly contradicted is still applies. So
that's
horse,
true.
Yeah,
that's the way that it works. You know, we've talked about this. I think when somebody goes to write a new Hohas Ekwesh story, they go to the story group and they're like, all right, well, here's the file and here's what was canon. Mm-hmm. None of this, you know, here's what has been established with him in the new canon. Mm-hmm. You can use the old stuff if you want, or you can just totally redo it from scratch. So
what's great about that is I'm sure that the horse character will never be not, like, like, Mara Jade can't exist because it doesn't fit within this new chronology, but that horse character, unless they specifically say, there is no horse driving an X-Wing, it'll always be there, you know?
Right.
So, Triclops, too. I'm assuming Triclops was still a thing in the...
Yeah, so the EU did not... I don't know, it's not completely gone, but it's I know that rubs some fans the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true. I'd forgotten about that aspect of this, element of this, that this kind of this flies in the face of the Zahn trilogy and stuff, right? This totally undoes a lot of that, like
even Tales from the Bounty Hunter. Well, I guess the prequel undid Tales from the Bounty Hunter. So,
but I mean, specific like plot, you know, like that for a long time, that was the heir to the Empire and all that was kind of like, here's as close to 7, 8, 9 as you're getting. And now it's like, you know what? No, 7, 8, 9 here.
Yeah, I guess I just put myself in the shoes of someone who actually read all these. I guess it would be kind of disappointing that you have been reading these books for 15 years or whatever, and now suddenly it doesn't count. Right. I mean, I know it's silly because you can still read the books, but like...
Yeah. I mean, I often will, you know, be criticizing people for stuff that I will totally, if the I change the parameters slightly and it's exactly me.
Yeah.
The guy who refuses to call it A New Hope and, you know, doesn't watch the special editions.
Yeah.
So.
Difference
is... you can still get the EU stuff.
Yeah, and also you should never pin any emotional attachment to anything owned by a corporation because it's going to be wrecked and it's out of your control, so don't do it.
Right.
Don't do it.
Nobody get emotionally attached to this movie. You can get emotionally attached to our show because we are not owned by a corporation as of this recording.
No, we are not. And we intend to keep it that way. I guess I can wrap it up.
Yeah. Right? Like I said, there's more crawl.
Yeah. We're out of practice. We don't know how long we're supposed to go.
How does the show end? Yeah.
All right. I think I know how to wrap it up. I will start by saying, hey, I know I'm sure you missed us over that long hiatus, but some of you got to hear us every weekend on the Star Wars Minute Weekend Edition, which you can get by becoming a Patreon supporter at StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon. Pete, you have a question?
No, I was going to say we've just added a new... whole new type of episode,
kicking it up a notch.
Yeah, so that for a long time we've had the weekend edition, which you can get every weekend, which is, you know, maybe an hour or so, sometimes two, where we just kind of ramble about general Star Wars stuff. But we've just added a new tier, so for a slightly lower price, you will get bonus episodes that are related to the week that just was, essentially. So,
yeah, so we'll try to have the guests on and do some maybe behind the scenes stuff or whatever.
So like during the week, you know, we'll add a little bonus bit about the stuff that we just talked about. And so at the end of a week, you'll get a little, you know, 15-20 minutes of extra stuff that is related to what you just heard, rather than kind of we tend to do just kind of all general Star Wars and even not Star Wars nonsense on the weekend edition. But this will be more just kind of reflecting on the week that happened.
Now, I probably should ask you this off the air, but do the people who subscribe to the regular weekend edition show also get this new show?
Yes.
Okay, so it's included in that.
Cascading down.
Okay.
So if you give us, you know, there's different levels and everything includes all the levels before it.
Got it. Cool.
Mm-hmm. And you can also get stickers and at different levels you can get original art.
Mm-hmm.
If you go all the way up, you can get me to fly out to your town and watch a baseball game with you. It's all kinds of fun stuff.
We should do a thing like that for Star Wars. Like, we'll go see whatever the current Star Wars thing in the theater is.
Oh, boy.
With you.
But the problem is then all the, like, we'd have to do all of those trips within a certain amount of, like, while the movie's in theaters.
Make a tour out of it. All right.
We'll talk about it.
Well, if you do, if let's say, I know the economy's tough. Let's say you can't, you don't want to shell out money for Patreon. You can always go to Facebook and join the Star Wars Minute Listener Society, where we are there very frequently, interacting with our fellow fans. And, yeah, go become a member of that. You have to answer three simple questions about Star Wars to get in. So go check it out. Star Wars Minute Listener Society on Facebook. And with that out of the way, we will be back tomorrow. Pete, do you think you can make it back tomorrow?
I'll try.
Okay, try it might just be me, but join me tomorrow for another brand new Star Wars.
Star Wars
Minute.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.